Now here in the spring of the alchemical year, we are undergoing distillation, which is a process of rarefaction, refinement. From the Qasif to the Latif. From the gross to the fine. The gross breath to the fine breath. Gross identity to the exalted identity. Gross consciousness to highly subtleized pervasive field of awareness. So this is a kind of mi'raj or heavenly ascension, which is really an ascension within ourself. We can undertake this by noting successive levels of our own being and punctuating that process of observation with a quickening zikr. This particular zikr is called zikr laqlaqa, and which means murmured zikr. Even mumbled. So the way of doing it is its recitation of the Esmizat, the divine name Allah, continuously without pause between, so that names, iterations of the name run together. Allah, 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 like that. And each at your own pace and pitch. So first of all, let's occupy this time, this place, in this body, totally present to everything in the room, everything visibly apparent in the room, the temperature in the room, the humidity in the room, the shade of light in the room, the sound in the room, the texture of the clothes draped around our limbs, the most immediate tactile sensory impressions. It can't be reminded enough, the words of a great one, the Sufis. Soul is where his foot is, or hers, and her foot is where her soul is. That's square one. So how is your body? hungry or not hungry, thirsty or not thirsty. Too hot or too cold? Is there an ache? Where's the tension in your body? Where is the body knotted up? How are you holding yourself? Tightly, over tightly, over loosely. Open up the joints. Open up the chest. Breathe into the body. Steep in the sea air. Totally embedded. We're totally embedded here at the intersection of earth and sky. Some body is always pressing on another body, whether that is piece of clothing, or a breeze, or the touch of the doorknob, or the hand of another person greeting you in your hand. And there's a tremendous intimacy of proximity, and of course bodies aren't bounded and separate. They also interpenetrate the way the air is penetrating our lungs and bloodstream, or the water in the pipes is now gurgling inside. So this flux of matter, this press of forms in which we're embedded, through which we move, we just occupy it totally through our senses. What do you feel? What do you taste? What do you smell? What do you hear? What do you see? And the body has a certain tone, a rhythm and a tone. What's the tone right now? Might be different at another time, but right now, what's the tone of your body? Maybe there's even a color that expresses it. But now let's go onward. On, 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 on.
low, low, low.
Not only in a mind, a landscape, we're in a mindscape. We're attentive not only to the phenomena that are physically present, but we're also attentive, more or less, to phenomena not physically present. Is there someone you've been thinking about these last many minutes? Wondering if that person is okay, remembering to write a line, or maybe taking umbrage at something that person said that just keeps seeming to repeat itself over and over again. It said that in the hereafter, we will be surrounded by those we love the most, and also those we dislike the most. That very dislike attracts them. We're thinking about them, dislikingly thinking about them. So they're in our mind, they're in our world. That's where they'll be, that's where they'll live, with us there. In that world, or we should say this world, thought is proximity. You're as close to anything as it appears frequently or vividly in your mind. What do you come back to again in your mind? There is a picture of your mental life. That's your habitation. And it overlaps, of course, with what is coming through our senses. We are present here and taking it in and engaging with it, but there's also always this carryover, for better or for worse. So what's in your mind right now? What have you been thinking about? Can you not only think about absent phenomena, but also notice that? See yourself summoning up those presences or those interactions. So what's your mental state? Is it populated by a load of collected observations drawn from social encounters primarily? Or is it a miscellany of perceptions gleaned from birds and insects and cacti? Or some combination, probably. Or things that you read in books, the ideas that you heard this morning or at any recent time. Are you grappling with those ideas, wondering about them? Are you stimulated or at variance and troubled? You know, ideas are living in the mind and they can compose the mental content. And education, learning, whether it's from first-hand experience or from books, means culture of the mind. We're determining the ideas that we'll entertain. So you can't entertain all of your ideas at one time. But right now, there's some portion of your thinking that's at play. So you can sense at the same time that that portion of your thinking that's active and at play, and then the larger expanse of your thought life that extends out into the subconscious, it's available, but you're not attending to it right now. And then, of course, there's a stratum which is not only subconscious, but unconscious. It's not available, but it still informs your thinking in the mode of a kind of subtle bias, unconscious bias. So this is one's mental being. Just take a moment to take stock of it, inhabit it, accept that it's here, and witness it. your heart. The mind is the surface of the heart. The heart is the depth of the mind. The heart is not knowledgeable about facts. But the heart is profoundly involved with meaning. Or perhaps better to say meaningfulness. Not meaning in the sense of the course of the causal chain, but significance. So is the heart the faculty of emotion? Well, the deepest current of emotion. There's that emotional flotsam and jetsam that sputters around in the mental sphere, which is largely reactive and linked to a personal history and the disappointments experienced in that story. But the deeper currents of emotion, for instance, suppose there's someone that you know you are linked to for life, someone that you love deeply. Well, at this specific moment, you might be irked about something. And that could be occupying your mind. Why did I don't understand why that person did such a thing, and so forth. That's going on in the mind. But deeper down, the reason that consideration is even of interest is that there is a linkage, a connection, a care. And that linkage is really the space of the heart where connection happens. That rabita between beings, that heart-to-heart cord. Not only between human beings, but it just, the heart's expanse meets what is. And there's an accommodation. Now, it's true the heart is not free of woe. There's a yearning. There's an absence. But it's nothing to do with one's spats. Well, let's say spats are the epiphenomenon of this deeper existential question of the heart, the question of belonging and presence and absence and love's circulation. So, what is the state of your heart? One might say that in one's emotion that is conditional. Relates to more to that part of the heart which is of the mind. And that in the heart which is unconditional relates to that depth which nears the soul. Toward which we move. soul. The witness. The seer through the eyes of body, mind, and heart. The simple. The living and the luminous. A living light. Not changeable in itself. But receptive to what it finds. Like the mirror. Pure consciousness. Luminous presence. Focalized by heart and mind and body. In itself, unfocused. Boundless. But relatively boundless. Because it is a portion of the infinite. Relative to body and mind, its vastness is overwhelming. And yet it is a delimitation of the light of lights. And the limitation is precisely in its inclining toward its manifestations, its instruments, its vehicles. That inclination is divisive. However, the division is still very subtle in the first instance. But as the inclination is actualized through acts of consciousness proceeding through heart and mind and body, it's as though the cone narrows to a little point. you take a magnifying glass and focus the light of the sun, it converges on a bright point that burns. But it's the same light, it's the light of the atmosphere. It's no different, it's just been focused. So the senses, the life of the body is the life of the soul. It's not different. It's vocalized. Can you experience that luminous life unfocused? Then focusing again, crystallizing in heart. The heart, which is quasi-personal. The soul is not personal in the way in which we understand that word. But the heart is quasi-personal. It's personal and impersonal at the same time, hybrid. And then the mind is still more personal. Still more recognizably, this historical self that we identify with as a persona. And then the body is the most palpably individual delineation of one's being. You see someone, then you've seen them, there they are. But it's the tip of the iceberg, because the greater part of every being is invisible to the eye. So we're back down on the ground floor, feel the earth under us, the sky above, and the stacking, the layering of body, mind, heart, soul. Like Russian dolls. Layers of clothes. an ice cube floating in a glass of water. And when you're ready, we can open our eyes again. Or if you prefer, keep them closed, but we'll have just a minute or two, ideally staying in the room. And just, if you'd like, you can stand up and just stretch just for a moment, and then we'll go on to the zikr. We'll do the zikr in four parts, and in between times, shavel. And if you are visually oriented, then we can continue with this set of symbols. And that is, if you recall, we conceived of one, and then three, and then five, and then seven stars. Now, there will be four pauses for shavel, and as we do it, through four stages, converge these seven stars. They come closer and closer. Right now, they're ranged a bit apart. They come closer, they come closer, they come closer. And by the end, the last of the four sets of shavel, they've formed a crescent moon. The stars have drawn closer and melted into each other, merged into a crescent moon. The constellation has become a crescent moon in stages, four stages. So, shakal, three breaths.
In la,
In. 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 Visualization is not your way in Shakal. Listen to the inner sound, the inner vibration. So Tisarmati. Three breaths of Shakal. law. Shogun. now rise for the evening prayers.